Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has upon all of us given us His big karam, His mercy, that extreme and massive rewards are raining down upon us in such a way that at this moment in time we are in the masjid, in the house of Allah, with the intent, in the condition of itikaf, and we are busy and occupied with the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah. And this is such an ibadah, such an act of worship, that Allah Ta'ala said it is kathir. That this ibadah, Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, the basis, the platform of the action of dhikr, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Qur'an Hakim that no other ibadah has this standard, or you can say criterion of success. That all ibadat Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Qur'an, all acts of worship Allah Ta'ala orders via the Qur'an for us to perform. But if we look at all the ibadat across the spectrum, all the faraid as well included, but nowhere has Allah Ta'ala stated with regards to any ibadah and given that standard, that level and that status that Allah Ta'ala has given to His remembrance, to His dhikr. Imagine, with regards to any other ibadah, any other act of worship, Allah Ta'ala has put a had, a boundary, an upper limit, that do this much or do this much and the rest is your choice. Allah Ta'ala stated 5 times salah. Allah Ta'ala says the salah is a very great action. It's afdal, important, from all of the ibadat is the highest. And how much shall we pray salah? But Allah Ta'ala says that's fine, but pray 5 times a day. And I will request you and I will instruct you to come to my home 5 times a day. Yes, make my house, however it is, solid, maybe made out of mud walls, etc. But Allah Ta'ala says, I'll tell you the times and come on time 5 times a day and stand in the corner of that house, my house. And Allah Ta'ala says, from my side, subhanAllah, from my permission, subhanAllah, who permits? The muadhin. Allah says, that call people on behalf of me. Allah Ta'ala says, call people on behalf of me. Yes, you don't need a loudspeaker, not necessary. Yes, or should we put wires at the top and call people from there? No, not necessary. But Allah Ta'ala says that your job, your duty is to call people on behalf of me. On behalf of me. That's what you have to do. Yes, let's quickly, let's go to the masjid. Or let's go to pray. And the people at home will say that eat quickly. What's the time? No, is it time for namaz? Is it time for salah? Oh, I've prepared the food, says the family members. No. What's the time for salah here in this area? What's the time for salah in this masjid, in this area? Isn't it? That's it. Allah Ta'ala says, don't worry that you don't need a loudspeaker. You don't need to shout out loud. Just call out once, 5 times a day. And on my behalf, invite people and say, please come, everybody, come. Allah Ta'ala is making you guests in His home. SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. Yes. So the person who calls to the people to prayer. And then imagine who is the host. And the greater the host, the more delicious is the food. For example, you're going to someone's feast. Oh, you know this minister, he's calling us. Oh yeah, be delicious food there. MashaAllah, when he's coming back after eating, then the stomach is full. It's full. And, oh, that person today, I'm going to his feast. You know, and there are 10, 15 dishes that will be distributed there because the host is big. He's a big personality, isn't it? So if Allah is calling, if Allah Himself is calling, then will the people who are invited to the feast, the guests, leave empty-handed? No. Allah Ta'ala says that I give you so many things that you can imagine that there's no king in the world that can give to you the items that Allah will give. Allah calls us 5 times a day to His home and mashallah, He gives to us. He gives to us. What a great, great ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. And how many times does Allah call us? 5 times. If we feel like however great a thing as we want, but we don't understand the hikmah, we have no akal, no shu'ur, no understanding. But those people who know the reality of salah, those who've got the taste of salah, then with regards to salah, Allah Ta'ala, if He did not have any had, if there was no boundary, upper limit, then every second, every moment, there would be people doing sujood, prostrating in the masjid. Where are you going? Oh, I'm just going to the masjid. I'll be back from the masjid shortly. Where you going? Oh, just going, just for one round of the masjid, just to have a look at the masjid. There's so much taste and enjoyment. Allah Ta'ala says 5 times, that's it. How many times? 5 times. Beware, beware. Pray 5 times a day in the masjid and that's it. Then you're free. After that, go, leave. Such a great ibadah. And after that, then we have the other acts of worship according to time, Ramadan. If we're alive, we'll see. If not, then we're free. Why? 30 fasts in Ramadan. Even that's the hukam. Okay, after a year, that month will come. Fair enough. Allah says that it's not without any boundary. 30. No, no, I want to keep 32. No, Allah says you have to keep 30 maximum. This is the case, isn't it? And Allah Ta'ala has it not increased. You have a desire, passion. Okay, keep the 6 after in Shawwal. If you have got passion, they're not compulsory though, Allah Ta'ala says. Yes, what a great ibadah, isn't it? Fasting. And then Hajj. And Hajj, people run to Hajj. The Hajjis, mashallah. Yes. Now, the 5 times a day, Allah calls to Salah, and Hajj is once a year. And Allah says, if you can, minimum once in your lifetime. And there are conditions. You have to have money in your pocket. There should not be no financial burden. And 3 or 4 other conditions. Health, you shouldn't be using a walking stick and pestering others to help you in the Hajj. And for we don't see it. We see the results in our homes. We see them in our homes and our families. Is this not the case? So whenever Allah Ta'ala gave a law, a principle, then there's fasad amongst the people, the human beings. And when people break the laws of Allah, then that's in those homes and families and towns and villages, that's where the fitna, fasad, and the trials and the challenges and the tests come amongst the people. And then, so in a year, once a year, mashallah, it's the order for people to go on Hajj. But there's conditions as well, only if you fulfill those conditions. But when it comes to Allah's remembrance, Allah's dhikr, Allah says, my dhikr, Allah Ta'ala has announced in the Quran clearly, Allahu Akbar. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkuru Allah dhikran kathira. Wasabbihuhu bukratan wa asila. هو الذي يصلي عليكم وملائكته ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما. سبحان الله. So here in a unique way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the hukam that, O people of Iman, now I am telling you about my remembrance. I'm telling you a unique, I'm giving to you a unique form of worship. Is not 5 times a day, not 5 days, or once a year, or Hajj you have to wait for, etc. Nothing. This is a unique ibadah for all mu'mins and mu'minats. Allah says, open your ears and listen. Subhanallah. What is this? Allah says, you have to do my dhikr. And subhanAllah, what a great amal. Allah says, you have to do my dhikr. You have to remember me, just like you have to pray, just like you have to fast, just like you have to do tabligh, just like you have to read the Quran, just like you have to do Hajj. Allah Ta'ala says, even this, my dhikr, you have to remember me. But this is unique and different to those other actions. They are done according to a certain quantity and number. But this dhikr is kathiran kathira. Kathiran kathira. Open-ended. Open-ended. Always you have to be immersed and busy and occupied in the dhikr. Has Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and said, Kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yadhkuru la kulla yani. That's a sahih hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Umma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and said that my sarkar, my master, Imam al-Anbiya, the head of the prophets, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was his style? With regards to this ibadah, he was always immersed and occupied in the dhikr of Allah. Yes, and the Prophet ﷺ was the basis of success for the whole of mankind. Everything regarding success came and emanated from the Prophet ﷺ. So if Allah Ta'ala is saying ibadah, salah 5 times a day in the masjid, that's a hukum, isn't it? Instruction. And those who don't pray salah, in that home where there's no salah, that house is like a graveyard. It's like a graveyard. Allah makes a graveyard. It's empty and dark. And Allah Ta'ala says that remove these people from those homes where salah is not prayed. And those people are sleeping. People are sleeping after a certain age. Every man and woman, it's fard to pray salah. Compulsory, Allah Ta'ala says. Compulsory. Allah says, seal off their rizq and their wealth and give them illnesses and disobedience and descend. Allow all of the azabs to descend on such homes, those families and households where my salah is left and not prayed. This is my hukum. Oh, I don't know why all the difficulties are coming to my family. Oh, do you pray? Oh, it's okay. Sometimes I pray when I'm free. My children are going to school. They have to go to college. They're busy. It's hard. Should they go to school, college, or should they pray? Allahu Akbar. We are challenging and refuting openly Allah's hukam and what is our style, lifestyle. First and foremost is what? Say loudly. Namaz. In the day, the first fikr we should have worry is for our children, our young children. That young children start from 7 years old, 6 years old, start praying in front of them. I've seen such households, mashallah. Families that the child is 3 years old, mashallah. And it's salat time, quick, he'll start doing sujood and ruku and the daughter. Why? Because the mother and father taught the children that pray salat on time. What do we teach our children? We'll just forget it. We say, oh, they know where to start, what switch to put on, what program comes on, which channel, which game, which box to put on, which switch to play. They know everything, the children. Yes, and then we complain to our Rabb, Allah. I say, subhanallah, that if you ask a pious elder, that what are your karamat, Hazrat? Please show me some of miracles of yours. One pious elder, pious wali, Hazrat Bahuddin Naqshband, Naqshbandi Silsala's chief, Amir, head. And he was asked, Hazrat Bahuddin Naqshband, somebody asked Hazrat, that please tell me, show me a karamat, a miracle, an action. He said, what can I show you about myself? The biggest karamat of my own is that despite having all these sins, the earth allows me to live on top of this earth, on top of the soil, and it doesn't bury me alive. And those great sheikhs had this understanding. And look at us, our actions, and we complain. A little bit of a problem comes, and we should look down inside us and imagine, where are we standing? What are we doing? Where are we today? Yes, where are we today? Even then, despite that, we won't go towards deen. So many verses of the Quran have been revealed. Allah says, correct yourselves, improve yourselves, reform yourselves. That come to me, you've made a mistake, fine, you've done a mistake, you've done wrong. Allah says, I've shown you, I've told you the punishments for your mistakes. Even now I'm saying, Tabu, come to me, Tabu, repent to me. That due to the action that you got those punishments, ask for forgiveness for those sins that you committed. And correct yourself, improve yourselves. Inna Allah ghafoor raheem, Allah will forgive you. But we don't want to do this. Another path we want to find, that let me succeed in this way or that way, etc. We don't want to go towards the path of repentance that Allah Ta'ala has grabbed us and punished us due to our sins. We don't want to leave those sins. We don't want to improve our bodies, improve our homes, improve ourselves. No, we don't want to move towards the right. We want to stay on the wrong. Just let's do wazifas and lessons. And is the Quran being revealed for wazifa? Just for reciting verses and du'as, etc. and do this and this and this. We are so foolish a qawm that we have displeased Allah, we have disobeyed Allah, that there's no greater action than salah. Our children don't pray salah, we don't pray salah. Masjids, we don't know about the masjid. Where is the masjid? And we're grateful that Allah hasn't destroyed us until Allah hasn't allowed the ceiling to collapse on our heads. Am I right or am I wrong, my friends? This is the story of our life. We're sharing it. And we seek other solutions. Maybe my problems will be solved through this way, A, X, Y, Z. There's only one solution. Allah says, okay, I gave you the ability. Yes, you can sin if you want to. In other words, it's your freedom of will. It's your own free will, isn't it? So you do sin when you want to, Allah says. That, for example, has any angel committed a sin until today? Has any angel drunk alcohol? Or has any angel got a girlfriend? Has any angel wander around in the world looking for these actions? Have you seen an angel coming out of a certain building drunk and running after haram? No, Allah said, I've made this creation such they don't know about the sin. Say subhanallah. So Allah says, I've made you a human being that you can walk around the world and yes, you can sin. You have that ability. You have that strength. That, for example, if you look at the daughter of the auntie, she's your cousin. She's your cousin, but you look at other things because we have the attributes of being to sin. That's why I spoke about ghayr mahram. So Allah says that you have those attributes and qualities and you have those weaknesses, you can go to sins. Allah says, I don't complain to you, that why do you sin? This is my style, Allah says, that if you don't sin, then I will bring another qawm that will sin. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala said this, that I have created the human being that he's able to sin. So Allah says, I will bring another qawm if you stop sinning and they will commit the sins, but they'll have a sift. That when a person sins, Allah said, doesn't make any difference if you commit the sin, but then do one action. If you commit the sin or do wrong, then in your mind should come a thought that you have a Rabb, the Khalik, your creator, your Malik, he's the Qadir, he's the Mutlaq, he's Rahim and Kareem. And his shan, his glory of Ghaffari is such that if you commit the sin, you do tawbah and Allah will forgive. Allah will forgive. But it's amazing and shocking that we don't do this action of tawbah, repenting. And here we see how a shaitan grabbed us and tied us up. Imagine this. that how shaitan has made us blind. For example, if it's written on your paper, somebody writes on your paper, on your sheet, okay, on your computer, you're typing, and if you want to delete, if you don't have a system of deleting, then how you'll feel distress. If you write wrong, or if you type wrong, and you want to cut it out, then for example, if we write incorrectly, we typically it out, don't we? Or we wipe it out, or we delete it on the keyboard, on the screen. But this is easier than that if we commit the sin. Why do we cry? Allah says, your quality, your attributes, Muslim, you might have done zina, or stolen, or lied, or committed theft. But Allah says, you've got that quality. You can stand and say, Allah, my Mawla, I've made a mistake. Allah, I've made a mistake. I've done wrong. You made me a person of iman. How could I do this action? All you have to do is say this. And Allah, your Rabb, will say straight away, I'll go, I've forgiven you. Subhanallah. But this we don't do. And it's so difficult for us today. We're not stuck today because of our sins. We are stuck because we don't want to repent. Oh, that the previous nations, the qawms, when they committed sins, the angels would come to them direct, pick up their villages and turn them upside down. They had different ways of asking Allah forgiveness. This is the mercy of our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam al-Anbiya, subhanallah, may I give everything for his every actions and sayings. And when we all give our everything for his actions and sayings, Rasulullah said, you don't need to find a special place to repent or say something special to repent. If you've just committed a sin right now, live, then the angels have been given order. Beware, don't be quick. Don't rush into recording. Allah says that be careful. Don't just write with your pen straight away. Three opportunities. Beware if you write and record that sin that he has committed. He's done zina, drank alcohol, or done this. No, don't record this. Because Allah says, I'm waiting. Subhanallah. That maybe he feels remorse and regret. Allah, my Rabb, is watching. And in those 3 seconds or 3 moments of time, if he repents and asks Allah for forgiveness, Allah says, I forgive him or her. So if we've got such flexibility, then I have to ask a question, that in our ummah, is there any brother or sister, man or woman? Nobody's house should be destroyed. Everyone's house should be full of peace. That's all there is to it. Little bit. Allah says, create a connection with me, create a link with me. A person came, a brother, a sahabi came and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I commit sins. What shall I do? I commit sins. And big sins. What shall I do? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do tawbah. Then what will happen? Allah will forgive you. Then after a while I go back again and I commit that sin again. Oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what should I do then? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ask for forgiveness. From Allah? Yes, from Allah. Then Allah will forgive you. Then he comes back and says, I commit the sins again. I repeat them again. What shall I do then? What shall I do then? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ask for forgiveness. From who? And now it's shameful for me to say this. Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Allah. Who for? Then ask forgiveness again from Allah. Yes, ask, then what will happen? Allah will forgive you. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you can continue to sin and keep on asking forgiveness. Do it all life long and Allah will keep on forgiving you. Subhanallah. So what we realize here, if we make a niyyah today, all of us, an intention, all sisters listening, brothers are present, make one niyyah, one intention. Do we make this intention? A solid promise? That's all we have to do. Is that don't be afraid of sins. Don't be afraid of sins. Yes, we need to refrain from sins. We haven't got a free rein to sin. But do one action. Do one action. Don't run away. That in the morning, when a sin occurs, then when we start in the day, we should start the day with istighfar. That Allah, the sins are committed in the night. I wasted my time, futile actions. Allah, forgive me. And do a tasbih of astaghfar, astaghfirullah, 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 tuba ilayya, astaghfirullah. There are beautiful recitations of astaghfar and have this intention that the sins I've committed, Allah, big, small, that I know and that I don't know my Mawla, but I've committed the sins, Allah forgive me. Start the day like this. Rather, when you wake up in the morning, stay on the mattress and start the day like this. The hadith, very good. And people ask me for wazifa. This is the greatest wazifa, biggest wazifa, that when you wake up in the morning at the tahajjud time, stay on the mattress and do this first action and ask for forgiveness for the sins done from the previous night. Do 5 minutes maraqabah of your sins and then get up off the mattress. Shall I tell you another technique? Shall I tell you, Haji Sahib? Such a wazifa I'm telling you, and you'll be successful in one go. When a person does this action, subhanAllah, at the tahajjud time when a person wakes up, you got up, woke up, you sit on the mattress, and when you sit on the mattress, you praise Allah. We have to praise Allah, isn't it, when we wake up? And in the praising of Allah, what are the greatest words and recitations that Allah Ta'ala loves the most? Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Say it everyone. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Recited it? After reciting this, listen carefully. What does Allah Ta'ala say? then we have to say, Allahumma ighfir lana, Allah, forgive me. What do we have to say? Tawbah. Oh my Mawla, forgive me. You haven't got up off the mattress yet. Oh Allah, forgive me. No wudu, your mouth is dirty, body is dirty. After getting up in the morning, after sleeping the night, we're like monkeys, like animals. But Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, forgive me. It is stated after that, when you wake up, when you get up, where are you going? Allah Ta'ala says, where are you going? Where are you going now? Where are you going off the mattress, oh foolish person? Where are you going? That where are you running to? That after discussing with me, talk to me, oh Allah, Allah says, ask me what you want to ask from me. Subhanallah. The pious elders have stated at that time, when the human being requests dua, Allah Ta'ala accepts that dua. Subhanallah. So much, that is the time, extreme time of acceptance of duas. Two actions Allah Ta'ala has loved. You've woken up. This man, this animal has got up. He's misused his time all night long, but he's woken up. And he's remembered me first and foremost. And after remembering me, he's asked for forgiveness of his sins, for his sins. And thirdly, Allah says, ask me what you want and I will give to you. Subhanallah. People say, I can't pass my driving test or this test. Do these actions and many people have passed their tests. Subhanallah. After doing these actions, Allahu Akbar. Good discussion. Good discussion. That's it. But who will get up at the Tahajjud time? Who's going to recite the kalima in the morning? We get up in the morning quickly. Let's go to the market to work. Okay, another point. When insan, because the shaitan is sent to us and our heart doesn't feel like doing good at that time, Allah Ta'ala doesn't let us remember these things. Because those thoughts come out of our hearts. Rather, it's such a small action, easy to remember. Allah is displeased with us if we're sinful and we don't remember, oh, I forgot to do that. I was thinking of doing it. Why? Because shaitan is trying to influence us. He's there. We don't have no niyyah. We have no intention. And in my mind and heart, there's so many criminal actions and sins. Allah Ta'ala doesn't let me remember. And this is adab, punishment. When they are so simple actions, Allah is making us forget these actions. Allah says, you're forgetting at that time because you've forgotten Allah. So why is Allah Ta'ala, why will Allah remind you and make you remember doing these good things? What a big wazifa, but not every man can do this. Only that man will do this who wants to become Allah's, who wants to be near to Allah, who wants to love Allah, who wants Allah's love, who wants to become the beloved of Allah. And they have an honest intention. I want to change myself. I am weak. Allah, I want to improve myself. This is the dialogue between that man and Allah. And Allah will remind that person at that time. Then, will we do this, brothers? That's it. These are the solutions, the remedies if we live a life like this. Dhikr, Allah says, my dhikr, my remembrance. What a great point. Allah Ta'ala has given us the action of dhikr for which we are sat down listening to. What do we need to do? Kathir, Allah says, kathir. Wadhkurullah kathir. Kathir wasabbihu. Allah says, bukratan wasila. And then Allah has described further that there's no limit, there's no upper limit, but there are two times that I've selected for you myself. Allah says, Allahu Akbar. That Allah Ta'ala says, the times that I prefer, I'll tell you. And in that time, don't do any other ibadah, Allah says. Don't do any other ibadah. There are two times which I like the best. And you should do no other ibadah. And all you do at that time is my dhikr, my remembrance. What is that? Wasabbihu, hu, wa bukratu. So in the morning, after fajr, and in the evening, in the night. These are the two times. When the evening starts, that's the other time. These two times are special for my dhikr. Sit down and do maraqabah, close your eyes. And for kathir dhikr, we have to learn qalbi dhikr. What do we have to learn? Dhikr of the heart. Yes, to remember Allah in the heart. Go to the wali Allah, go to the teacher, and ask him to teach you the dhikr of the heart. And he will teach you dhikr of the heart, that this is the way, and do it. That's it. And then your heart will start to be to Allah's name, Allah, Allah, Allah. And not that you go to learn dhikr and then after that you're free. This is not the case. You have to practice and implement and make effort. And what do we call this in Urdu? You have to make effort. You have to make effort. Along with, if you take a car, a Mercedes, and take out the best model, new, and you take that Mercedes and park it in the garage and don't drive it for 6 months, then won't there be a difference in the way that car starts and drives, the mechanisms? Something will be rattling or knocking. It's a new car, but that's because you haven't tuned it over. You haven't used it regularly. You haven't turned it over. So the Mercedes will become useless. And the same, anything in the world, the same principles apply. So dhikr, if we don't do dhikr regularly, we don't work hard, we don't strive, and your shaykh has prescribed to you that this is lazim for you to do this much dhikr, and you haven't done that, then never will you get benefit. Never will you get benefit. And automatically you need to do dhikr of Allah to improve your heart and make it move. Allah Ta'ala has opened our hearts and a shaykh has prescribed to you the dhikr of Allah, and we don't want to do dhikr. No. Allah has given us the tariqah, then the morning, you have to do this many tasbihs in the evening, this many tasbihs, and that's become your spiritual food. Spiritual food, it's become your khurak. And we need to work hard on this, and we work hard on this, that's then our lataif, the different parts of our body will start to travel. A brother, he had an operation very recently, he is a person known to me. And this is the history of those people who worked hard on the name of Allah, dhikr of Allah. So he had open heart surgery recently, and the doctor's telling us the account, this is very recent, I'm telling you a sahih incident. And the doctor, and I spoke to them as well, and his heart was opened, and then the chest was opened, cut open, the heart was taken out, open heart surgery, and he said, what's the heart doing? What's the heart doing? Allah, 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 Allah. And they were standing watching, and the surgeon, he came out of the theater, and the wife and children were sitting, he says, your husband, what does he do? What does he do during his life? They said, what's happened? What's happened? He said, we've taken his heart, we're doing the surgery, and his heart is beating, and the Allah, Allah is coming from his heart. Allahu Akbar. They said, please just carry on doing what you're doing, the operation, because he will stay like this. Just continue with the operation, because those things that you need to fix and mend, his heart will continue to be like this. And I'm telling you this is recent, this occurred. Recent. Why? Because when a person has a link with Allah and the person works hard, the shaykh has prescribed 50, 60 years his life has passed and he's not left his tasbih wazifa. Yes, this is the statement of Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi. And people said, Hazrat, you've become a great shaykh now, Junaid Baghdadi. People believe in you, know you. Leave the tasbih now that your shaykh gave to you. Why do you say, don't do Allah, Allah? He said, you foolish person. Don't you understand? This tasbih has brought me to this height. And you are telling me to leave this tasbih? The tasbih has given me the level spiritually. So this is the aqeedah we should have. This is how much we should implement that. We should have love in what we've been given to remember Allah before we go to Allah. That I have, if I'm satisfied or I've achieved the destination and I'm successful, no, I need to work hard to get to the destination. Then the shaykh have to keep on pulling your hair. Are you doing dhikr? Are you doing every day? How much are you doing? What kind of student? The shaykh shouldn't even have any care for this. Not his job to run after the students, is it? It's not his duty to keep on asking and pestering with a stick. Why don't you do dhikr? Is this dhikr? Is this remembering Allah? Subhanallah, what kind of dhikr is this? Forcing people, chasing people. If you love somebody, will that person say that, why don't you love me? No? That person will say, please, please, go, leave me, why are you running after me? Why is it you keep running? Don't they say that, people? In the world? If you love somebody, you don't need to be forced to run after that person. So here, we're creating a forceful relationship with that. No. Why are you not doing dhikr? Why don't you come to dhikr? Oh, please promise you're going to come to dhikr after that. Forget that. What sort of insan is this person? He's got iman that he has to be chased and forced. We should have khawf, the fear of Allah. The fear of Allah. So will we come to dhikr? True promise? That's it, we should try. Allah Ta'ala has given to us a great gift from hundreds of thousands of people. Allah Ta'ala has put the finger of dhikr on our heart. The shaykh has taught us dhikr. And we should do proper effort on this. And if we don't make effort, Allahu Akbar, this is such an effort that this can go with us into the grave. Allahu Akbar. And we could lie down and do Allah, Allah, dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. That if we can be unconscious, a person having an operation, the heart is brought out and he's doing Allah, 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 then what else is left? Why don't we do dhikr when we're alive and kicking? So we can do dhikr at that time when we struggle and make effort, pay attention and focus. Will you do this, brothers? Okay. May Allah Ta'ala accept. Ameen.